in all of the southeast United States. A couple years ago, I went to a place called the Great Sandy Hoos National Park in Colorado. And when I was there, it was cold because the Holy Spirit told me to go out and walk on it. It was too cold. So in May, when I went back to the Pacific Northwest in 08, he took me back to the vortex, to the sand dunes. And it was a vortex because as I got to walk out on, started out on the sand dunes, I could feel the energy field circulating there. And it did a number on me because he laid me out in the motel room in Cortez, Colorado for 2 days for a spiritual house clean. So that it's a powerful thing that we're coming into. And he showed me that this vortex in the sand dunes of Colorado would take in anywhere from 500 to 700 miles from that eye of that vortex, which covers almost 24 states in western United States and northern New Mexico, or northern Mexico. And it, you can see the results of it because there's been earthquakes down there, and down along the border they got a lot of problems with the drug cartels and that. So it's disturbing the atmosphere. And you know, like in the central part of the country, Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, they've had severe storms for the last several years. So, you know, what's it going to bring here? I don't know. You know, we already see what nature's doing out in the Gulf. It's spewing out itself. Busted oil well. It's spewing out. But I believe that the ocean can heal that because it's salt water. In 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, Elijah came to Jericho and he said the water was bad. And he said, well, give me some salt. And he threw salt into the water and it healed the waters. So, you know, that speaks a lot of things in a lot of areas to us. It speaks to us in ourselves that he's going to heal the waters in our own being. I've been experiencing this for some time, the healing of the waters. So, we're in a great time. I also understand because there's such a collection of light right here. Don't be surprised if we get some severe storms coming through here, because my whole journey here has been nothing but storms. Sandstorm in Arizona. Before I went to Tulsa, there was a tornado in Tulsa. The woman I went to see, she said, there's never tornadoes here. And several days before that, there was one in Oklahoma City. 2 days before I left my sister's house, we encountered a hail storm. You know, just think about these things. Denver, Colorado last week got 6 to 12 inches of hail, golf ball size to baseball size. It busted out car windows, damaged roofs, and stripped every tree of leaves in East Denver. So, we're in a great day.
Yes, amen. We really are.
Welcome to the age of Aquarius.
Amen. That's where we're at. Yeah. Amen. We're on the threshold of tremendous change and transformation. He says a vortex. To me, there is a vortex, a stirring. Call it a vortex. Call it. To me, there is a rising of consciousness, where there is a collective consciousness that's coming forth. That's a part of that vortex that's moving and stirring, and so there will be a tremendous challenge, and the challenge will be for all of us to come out, and that coming out doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be like the Essenes and go out into a desert place. Now, it may be that way for some folks, and the key there would be to just be open and listen and make sure that you know that this is where God has said go, and you go there. Amen. One day a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink, and she suddenly noticed that her mother and had several strands of white hair, sort of like me, sticking out in the contrast of her brunette head. Mine was dark brown black. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hair white, Mom?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hair turns white." The little girl thought about this revelation for a while, and then she said, "Mommy, how come all grandma's hairs are white?" Oh, I like this one. This was one of my favorites. After the christening of his baby brother in church, Jason sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him 3 times, "What's wrong?" Finally, the boy replied, "That preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." I want to stay with you guys. That's right. I want to stay with you guys. And so the other day I was meditating and I was praying, most all the time as I meditate and I pray, I write things. God just speaks to me and I write things down. And so So I just want you to listen to some things that I want to share. I'm going to share a few things with you, kind of open the conference up. I want to let everybody know, in the morning we'll meet at 10. We'll have lunch here. Then we'll come back and just going to be awesome. Awesome. The vortex. I'm looking for that stirring, that rising of consciousness, that transformation. And we're going to experience that. I'm experiencing that. I know that we're all going to walk through this water. This water, salt water, healing water, transforming water. And we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed and transformed. And so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you. And again, if you feel an unction and you feel something vibrating inside you, we want you to share it. Get up and just say, "Man, God said something to me," or "God showed me something." And so there are no big I's and little U's. We don't want that. We want to hear how the Spirit, how consciousness, the source, the universe. I mean, you know, have you ever seen the time when God had so many names? It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal now. We can just call him it anymore. Some people still get mad, but that's okay. They'll get past that. Yeah, so just so many. And the honest fact of the matter is God is all. So whatever you want to call God, you call him a tree. Romans said God is all. So I guess all of these names are appropriate, trying to come back to a focus on God as the all that I am. And I realize sometimes people have a hard time saying, "I am holy." Right. Well, you are. Amen. You are. And I realize sometimes we kind of lag behind. We think, "Oh my God, I cussed today." Yeah. Well, that's all right. God might have too. If you did, most likely he did. And that'll catch up with you sometime, and you'll say, "Oh." Most all of us have come through some form of Christian doctrine or dogmas, teachings. There are few that haven't, and that's great, but most all of us have been tainted one way or the other in America with American Christianity and American mindset. And so most of us have been taught to think from that Christian perspective temporally. And when I say temporally, I'm talking about materialistically, or I'm talking about literally. And so, you know, I have a pet peeve about literalist, what I call literalist Christianity, where Christianity is trying to go to the book of Revelations, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel, a few places back, different places where you can go to certain pet places and try to make it literal. When it's not literal, my words are spirit, saith God. My words are spirit. And so when you take them literal, and actually when you put them in a book, you dumb them down. You actually reduce them from their total intent. And just by doing that, just by putting them in a book, and then we let somebody put on the front of that book, holy, and think that's holy, we miss the greatest blessing of our life, which is our own relationship with He who is holy. And the only way you can have that is cultivate that yourself. You have to get alone. And if you get alone and all you got is that book, you ain't got nothing. It's like the guy that said that he was trying to give a thirsty man a drink of water, so he just wrote water, W-A-T-E-R, and handed it to him and said, here's you some water. Well, the guy got kind of upset at that. You know why? It had no intent. It had no purpose. Pretty much that's where we are. Now, I love this book. I think you'll find out. If you hang around me a while, you'll realize I've given my life to search it and study it and try to find out what it's saying. And I found out that we've been deceived. We've had the blinders pulled over our eyes a long time. Now, you know, because people think literal, that's the way the denominational churches are. They want to think in a three-dimensional, 3D mindset. And so because they think about that, they think in a 3D mindset with just five physical senses, what you can see, smell, taste, touch, or hear. And so they concocted, that we have concocted over the last few centuries, this literal place that we call heaven, a planet floating out yonder someday. And one day, if we got all of our ducks in a row, maybe we'll get to go there. If not, they got another place concocted for you. And it also appeals to your five senses as well, because they say it's hotter than hell there. I don't know. I'm a movie buff. I love to watch movies. I see things in movies that most people don't see. I see movies and I think, my goodness, God wrote that. How many of y'all ever seen The Sixth Sense? Yes. See, I saw that movie and I said, whoa, God wrote that. Well, you know, if you, and literalist Christianity, let us think that some people had a sixth sense. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they did. You know what they called them? A witch. Yeah. Or they had another name for them. Psychic. And if they were psychic or they were a witch, they had a sixth sense. But now, not all of us. And I mean, no way. We five sense people. Well, I want to just say this to you. And I'm waiting on them to make the movie, The Seventh Sense. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just waiting on that one to come about so that we can move on out of... Now, I want you to hear me. I wrote this stuff down. I'm writing this, telling you what I read. Because, you see, the witches and the psychics, the Christians told all of us that they were voodoo practitioners. You better stay away from them. Don't go around them. They do all that hokey pokey stuff on you and all that other kind of stuff on you. You know, and if I come out here and I'm bold enough to say there's six, not only six dimensions, but seven dimensions, you say, whoa, well, where did he get this? He is wacky. He's really wacky. I want to read you a passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 25. If you have a Bible, usually on Sundays we pass them out. We have extra ones just because a lot of these guys don't carry Bibles. I told Connie, I said, I go to these conferences sometimes and don't none of these guys ever carry a Bible. I said, well, I mean, that's okay because they just getting it right out of their heart, and that's the way it should be. And so I still use this thing. Joe said I would get free of it one of these days. But I just want to read you a passage of Scripture. And this... I'm talking about the seventh sense. Thou shalt make seven lamps. Everybody say lights. Everybody say or. A-W-R. It's the Hebrew word, or, translated light. The word has more or as much. Even though it refers to energy, refers to the source of all being, because that's what it is. It also has to do with knowledge. Knowledge. Something that God wants us to have, something that we do have. Sometimes you just don't use it. You'll make seven lamps, seven lights. They'll light the lamps thereof, and they might give light. That's the whole purpose of it. Jesus said this. He said, don't you know that you are the light of the world? You see, we thought that he was. No, he was a metaphor. He was an example of us. So does anything, matter of fact, didn't he say, what I do, you can do? Did he say that? What I do, you can do. And I think that he said you could probably do more. He did, didn't he? He really, really did. He said greater, greater. Now, it hasn't been too long ago. Y'all help me out here with the history stuff. It hasn't been too long ago. Just a few hundred years back. Don't have to go too many hundred years back. But we can go back a few hundred years and we can find where we actually thought only in two dimensions. That's exactly right. You know, it's hard for us right now because, you know, we're here in this 3D world and we're tempted to think in the 4D. I mean, you know, if any of you have read anything about quantum physics, now you're thinking in 4D. And then some of the quantum physics have leaped up into a five-dimensional world. Whoa, what if there was a six-dimensional or even a seven-dimension? What if they were all right now simultaneously existing at the same time? Yes. Somebody said they are. Yeah, they are. Well, just, you know, it hasn't, you say, Brother Lynn, that nobody ever thought in two-dimensional. Oh, yeah. We were all dumbed down to think in a two-dimensional world. Do you realize it hasn't been but, I think, 300 or 400 years ago that we thought the earth was flat? Two dimensions. Flat, up and down. It's in that dimension of thought that religion birthed the concept of heaven up yonder and hell down there. That hadn't been that long ago and we bought it. Do you realize you go back 800, 900, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, you couldn't have sold that bill of goods to anybody because they knew the earth was round. Knew it. You would never have sold it to the Egyptians. It's just the way it is. You couldn't have sold it to the Mayans. No, they understood the dimensions and the higher dimensions. They understood this. They understood that we don't have to go to them. They came to us. They're here. Whether you believe it or whether you recognize it doesn't change the fact the dimension is here. It's here. It's right here upon us. It's here within us. The Catholic Church... Boy, the Pope is really going through it now, isn't he? Do y'all get Time Magazine? He's on the front cover. The back of his head is on the front cover. And that's a good thing. There's not ever a time that we don't go through fiery trials that they don't purify us. Because they will burn away all the wood, hay, and the stubble. And if that's all we got, we hadn't got much. And that's good that we burn it all up. We recognize we ain't got nothing. Right? So, but you know what happened to us. What happened to us, and we didn't realize it, we got locked into that two-dimensional thinking of up and down. We did. Because most people I talk to, and even what they call kingdom people, and I'm not sure who they are or what that is all about, really, I'm not. Gary can explain that to you, or Roper, because I don't know. But I found out that most of these people, they call them kingdom people, still think in two dimensions. They still think they're going to go to heaven or they're going to somebody go to hell. Or if they've done away with their hell, they still hadn't done away with their heaven. They still got that dimension of they're going to get to go there one day. They fail to recognize that God has brought it here and it's all around you and you don't have to go nowhere to experience because it's here. Yeah. You know, and I say these things and I say this, Cole helps me preach sometimes, y'all. He does way back in the back, buddy. Sort of like we're just family here, and the kids run around. They'll come up here sometimes and hang on my pole. That's just the way they do. Yeah. Oh, he is. Yeah. He rules the daycare. He's one of our little fellas in the daycare. Some people are still locked into this literalist thinking, and I run into it a lot. I get, in my CD of the month, we mail it out. It goes all over the place, and I have people call, and they always are trying to convince me of the literalist interpretation. Brother Lynn, you mean you don't believe that there was literally an Adam and an Eve? I say, no. 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 Hell no. And they get all bent out of shape about that. You know, and Connie is helping me polish my pulpit stuff. No, that's George's word. Anyway, we get stuck in all of these things, and I wanted to read a passage here in Genesis 2. Don't you just love Genesis? I've been stuck in Genesis for I couldn't tell you how many years. 10 years, I guess. 12 years, maybe 15. I'm not sure. Just to keep digging there. I want to read a passage to you. Now, here again, it's tough on us when we're locked into the two-dimensional literalist concept. We don't recognize it and don't even know it. See, we think that this all come about in a six-day period of time because of the King James Bible that give us this translation that said that this all occurred in 6 days. We fail to recognize, or 7 days, we fail to recognize that that's not what the Hebrew text was telling us, nor was it trying to convey to us, because it was a coded formula that was trying to get us to show the energies of God that exist all around us, and it used the first 7 letters of the Hebrew alphabet to explain this vast energy that we call God. And so each time it would explain or talk about the energy of a certain number in the first 7 digits of the Hebrew alphabet, it would talk about the creative aspect of that number, and we call that a day. So we come to this number, Genesis chapter 2 verse 2, it says, and then on the Sabbath day. And so we've been arguing for a long time, which one is that? Is it Saturday or Sunday? And so a lot of people are convinced, surely it is Saturday, but we're going to worship on Sunday. That's the Lord's day. It don't say that. In Hebrew, it don't say that. The Hebrew number 7 is the Hebrew word Zayin. Z-A-Y-N. Zayin. And I want you to get this. This is a beautiful number. And what this number says and what this number is all about, this number refers to the energy of God that brings you into a place of this phenomenal peace that passes your understanding, so that when you experience 7, you're experiencing the totality, the completeness of God's peace. And that peace comes on you, and it keeps you, and it sustains you, and also at the same time, it gives you this phenomenal liberty that's called freedom.
Yes.
And that's the Sabbath day. And that's given to you to experience it every moment of every day, so that you can experience who you are as peace and as freedom. Yeah. Boy, did we get hoodwinked and bought a lie. Total peace and the marvelous freedom of God. God loves us so much that He says, I will incarnate you in this body. You call it a body. It's a house. It's a tent. It's a suit that you can play in. And I'm going to incarnate, and you can do anything you want to with it. I love you. It has a higher purpose, and maybe one day you'll figure that out. But God still loves us. Proverbs 23, I want to place some things in you in a way of thinking, because as this portal opens to us, and truly it is, it's an open portal, as this portal opens unto us, and we begin to experience the swirling of this vortex, this vast energy. You know, and it's, you know, you move it sometimes. You know, I can be in a time of service and I can just feel a breeze that blows across me, and I look around and there ain't no breeze there, and whew, that felt good. Look around. Where was that? You know? And then I have this, wow, this wonderful smell. Smells like cookies. Y'all seen Michael, didn't you? Think about Michael. He liked to fight, but he loved to smell him sweet cookies. He liked women too. So you experience this presence, this vortex, this energy, this consciousness. It's here. It's here. It's not here because you feel it or don't feel it. It has nothing to do with it. Consciousness, the conscious energy of God is here. Proverbs 23, you know this passage of Scripture. Verse 7 says, as a man thinketh. It's the Hebrew word sha'ar. Thinketh. As a man thinketh. Sha'ar. Thinketh. The word has to do with light. Ar. Or. Same word. Sha'ar. You know what the word means? It has nothing to do with your thought processes. It has to do with open. A couple of weeks ago, I experienced one of those God moments. Just really, I was actually out there weeding some stuff out of the. I'd been weed eating, and there were some weeds growing up in the flower garden, Connie's flower garden. I reached over, and there's this little tree. It's a little tree starting to grow up. And I reached over, and I just pulled it up, and still stuck to the root. It was a walnut. The walnut was still. The whole walnut was there. But here's what the walnut did. It just opened, and coming up right out of that was this stem, and it had just opened. You know what the walnut, it was thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Sha'ar. It opened. You see, that is the only way that God can work with you. You have to open your mind to get out of your own limited thinking. You see, most people, I hear people say, well, brother, I don't believe that. Big deal. I could care less. You don't think that. Because you see, your thoughts, the things you think, the things you believe, put you in this box, and you can stay in that box. Or you can do, you know, what I did a number of years ago was I learned to put everything I believed in a loose leaf folder. Every bit of it. And then when I realized I didn't believe that no more, well, I don't believe in hell no more. I don't believe in a rapture no more. I've emptied my folder. I don't believe nothing anymore. Sha'ar. I'm open. I'm just open. I'm open. Because you see, you see, God can't do anything for you until you and I open ourselves. We begin to open ourselves up to the limitless God. And we allow God in all of His vastness, all of His energy, that He would pour out in us, through us, on us, and it be a continual cycle of regeneration.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Change from glory to glory. Transformation from glory to glory. With an open mind. Everybody say open.
Open.
You see, what the part of the vortex, the rising of consciousness is all about this week is you got to open yourself up. I've been in these meetings and I've seen the Word of God come forth, and then I've seen some beliefs come out. And then I've heard things said that people didn't realize what was said, and so they close that mind up. Bless God, won't believe that. That's all right. One day you may. You may open your mind up and begin to see some things differently. Genesis 1. I want to move on here. I want to get on. I'm just I wanted to kind of open us up. I want to open us up, because you see, if me and you can get out of, and I realize people say, but Brother Lynn, it says if you believe, if you just believe whatsoever things you believe, it's the Greek word pistous. And it don't mean believe, it means trust. And there's a vast difference between believing something and trusting something, because I know a lot of people that believe a lot of stuff and don't trust nothing. It's a shame they didn't translate it right. But it don't take a degree to figure this stuff out. Really, all it does is takes hunger. It takes hunger and an open mind, because a closed mind won't figure it out. It would like to, but it don't. Genesis 1:1. Bareshit bara Elohim et ha shamayim et ha eretz. They messed it up and they said something different. Hebrew didn't say that. Hebrew, but they did. They said, then they went ahead, then they really messed up the next one. They say, ha eretz. Va tobu et vahu. That was verse 2, and they really did mess that one up. But then here comes the beauty. Here comes the good one. Here is the one that I love. Vayahe or. And God said, let there be light. God said. And God said. We've been stuck there. And God said. Vayomer. Hebrew word. Vayomer. The word, for instance, let me back up and throw a little wrench in your thinking. Numbers 23. God is not a man. God is not a man. He's not an old gray-headed man. He doesn't sit on a throne out yonder somewhere in the glory. I know it's hard, but God is not a man. It's hard for us to get God out of a man body. God is not a man. The only way that God is a man is He is me. He's you. He chose you and He chose me to experience Himself. To experience itself. Var Yomer, and God said, God is not a man, so let me throw you a little problem here. Since God is not a man, God don't have vocal cords. No vocal cords. No vocal cords. So what does that word Var Yomer mean? It means, how many of you have ever been close enough to the Aurora Borealis to see it? Few of you. Hallelujah. I've seen it. You see, it doesn't have to do anything. Do you know why? Because the magnetic energy of the earth causes it to just spew out. It just comes out. It just spews out. The word Var Yomer means to emanate. It just means to come forth. And that's what got translated, God said. You see, God is energy that's always. God is or light. Light is energy. God is just energy that emanates. For instance, you don't have to think to breathe. Hallelujah, it's a good thing. It's a real good thing. Yeah. You don't have to think for your heart to beat. That's another good thing. It just does. You know why it does that? It does that because of Var Yomer Or. You see, even science today, quantum physics have begun to realize that inside you there's a tremendous light show going on. It's not dark in there. It's light. There is a tremendous array of colors of light, dimensions of light, 7 of them, that's going on inside you. You're a marvelous light show. And you don't even know it. You're a light show going on. This weekend, what I want to focus on is Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Vayahe or vayomer or. Not where God said, because if you will just inhale and exhale, as that breath come up out of you, emanated that energy, that power, it emanated out of you, God was speaking. Our greatest problem is we won't get still enough to hear that breath, to see what it said. You know why? We're busy looking in this.
Amen.
We're busy standing up. Thus saith the Lord. If you're going back in the Old Testament and you're calling the Lord Jehovah, that was a very accurate description of it. It's just the ego. It's egocentric. It's ego-driven. And we've all been through that. That's fine. We may even still be in some ways, and that's fine. That's okay. But you know, I read this. I remember years and years ago when I first started searching and studying and hungry, and I would spend 14 hours a day, some days longer, just studying. Just couldn't get out of this. I'd stay up all night, stay up all day, lock myself up in the bathroom. I can literally sit on the toilet for hours. I've mastered it. Years ago, my feet would go to sleep. They don't anymore. I can sit there and just study for hours on my throne. Well, the reason I did that was because Connie and I, three girls, you get locked up in a house with four women, you have to find somewhere to go. And I did. And so I went there. That's where I would go. And I would just go there and spend so much time and studying and searching and getting quiet and trying to say, well, what in the world was God saying? And I would read these scriptures and they would confuse me. I thought, well, it said right here in Genesis 1:3, it said, and God said, let there be light. And immediately my mind all of a sudden thought about the sun. And then I read over there in 1:16, and here comes the sun. I thought, that's confusion. Was the sun back there, or is the sun over here? Was the sun in verse 3, or was the sun in verse 16? Because we don't have a sun until we get to verse 16. Huh? You ever think about stuff like that? I would sit there and I thought, that. And so then I began to study the Hebrew and look at the code and see, oh, boom. That's what you were saying, God. That's awesome. That is so awesome. So, this weekend, this is going to be a weekend of the emanation, the energy, the exertion as it executes itself. It comes forth. It comes out. He's coming out of all of us. It not only is coming into us, it's coming out of us. This is going to be a weekend where we open. We begin to open ourselves up and allow the tree to grow so that we can be what God has always designed us to be. Hallelujah. Energy. Light. Vessels of light. Vessels of God's energy here in this earth. Amen. Y'all all stand up with me. Stand up and stretch. Fluff your pillow.
Well, the only thing I can say, this is not fair.
Why not?
How would you like to follow that? You know, I was just thinking about what Lynn said. You changed the word to energy. Boy, what a tremendous difference. Because, you know, we've all been taught in the beginning was Jesus. It doesn't say that, but it says in the beginning was the Word, but we're always taught in the beginning was Jesus. And there's very few people realize that there was no Jesus until a baby was born in Bethlehem. And that's been one of the biggest problems among Christians, is they don't understand the difference between the man Jesus and Christ. I've been saying for some time now that when in the beginning, when God created man, man is not necessarily a male, but man is mankind.
Yeah.
And we've been told that God created one man, and then out of that one man, He brought forth a woman, and then all of creation came out of that. That's impossible. In the beginning, God created a man, male and female created He them. That was Christ. That's the corporate, the corporateness of who we are. In the beginning was energy. Wow. You know, I've been saying probably for 20, 30 years, I've been saying God is like energy. But I've only recently begun to understand that God is energy. And I used to use the example all the time. I still do sometimes, because picturing God as energy, as an analogy to God, I used to tell people who were having a hard time with their flesh, or, you know, trying to overcome certain things, I'd say, look, God is just like energy. And if you go over there and unscrew a light socket and get some bare wires and you grab that bare wire, what are you going to get? That energy, don't care if you're good or don't care if you're bad, it's going to infiltrate your being. And so no matter how bad you are or how good you are, if you will take the time to sit in the presence of God, that energy in you will begin to flow. That energy will infiltrate every fiber, every avenue of your thought and brain, and it will transform you. And you don't even have to have any Bible knowledge. I've known people, you know, well, I shouldn't say people, I've known one or two people that couldn't read, that was full of the essence of God. I thank God that in these days, when I very first began ministering, my message was, you got to drop the intellectual gospel. Because as long as your gospel is intellectual, you will never progress into spiritual realities. We were visiting someplace last night, and somehow the topic of Oprah come up. And it was said, well, you know, Oprah, she thinks that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. I said, well, I don't believe that either. And, you know, there was a shocked look on the face. But, you know, people don't understand. Because if you think of what Christianity has done by telling people that you have to know Jesus, and not only know Him, you have to receive Him. That means that probably 90% of our world will never make it and never have any spiritual contact because they don't have the proper intellectual knowledge to do so. So I said to this person last night, like I've said so many times before, God is not looking at your intellect, He's looking at your heart. And so no matter what religion you're brought up in, I know there are Buddhists who are much more full of the presence of God than Christians. It has nothing to do with your intellectual understanding, although that can help. It has everything to do with what Lynn was talking about tonight. God has to stir up a desire within our heart. And that's what He's done all over the world in these days. And when the desire begins to arise in your heart for God, I don't care if you're a Buddhist, a Hindu, or a monk, I don't care what you are, you will begin to cry out from deep within your being, and God will meet you right where you are. God is no respecter of religion, especially. If all things, which I shouldn't say if all things, since all things, I'm learning to take that if out of my vocabulary, but since all things came out of God, and God is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere, in all things, everywhere, then show me a man or a woman that doesn't have God in them. If there is one person in this earth that doesn't have Christ in them, he's not omnipresent. And that little revelation alone can change your whole concept towards humanity. And when you begin to not look according to the flesh, what Paul told us in Corinthians, know no man after the flesh, not even Jesus. He said, no longer we know him after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When you begin to realize that that light, that energy, that force, that being, the awesomeness of all that God is in all of creation. And you're not to judge according or after the flesh. Well, then you can't see prostitutes and you can't see. You look beyond the fault. Remember the song? He looked beyond our faults and saw our need. I wish Christians would do that. I watched a video the other night and or the other day, and boy, did I have a grieving in my heart. Because it was a video on the Christian right movement in Uganda. And they, whether the law was passed yet or not, I don't know, because I don't know how old the video was. But they were in the process of passing a law to make gay people, or to be gay, illegal. And if you were caught, you were jailed. And the third time, you were put to death. This is the Christian gospel. And look at the Christians that would like to get some of these right-wing political people in the White House. I don't want them there.
Amen.
Don't think they wouldn't force the laws on you. And you know, we all know by now, hopefully, that you cannot legislate morality. But you can minister to the spirits of men and women and see change take place in their lives.
Yes.
Some of the most loving and kind people I've ever met are gays. And I'm not for the gay agenda, so don't misunderstand me. But they have been so abused and so rejected by Christianity. And most churches in America, if you would go in there and say you're gay, they wouldn't want you there. They could go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Because there is more compassion and more of an understanding of God as a higher power than there is in Christianity. Because no matter how bad you are, In Alcoholics Anonymous, they'll accept you. And if you backslide, you can still come. So One Source, that's a good name for the band. One Source. All of us came out of one, so there is the most magnificent essence of all that God is that emanates from our being. That energy was in the world, and the world knew him not. It's no different today. Well, thank God there are people today all over the earth who recognize that Christ has come again. And he's living and he's breathing in a people. We were in a meeting 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was an inclusive meeting. Have you ever all heard of the inclusive meetings? Carlton Pearson, I believe, started that thing. But there's been meetings for a few years now all over the United States about God being all-inclusive, All-inclusive just means everybody's included. Well, they were having a meeting. A church in Dallas opened their doors to have an all-inclusive meeting in Dallas. And it was all set up, and it was, I guess, a short time before the meetings were to begin. And the pastor found out that one of the friends of mine, who is a minister, was coming. And that pastor said, if you're going to have that person come, you can't meet in my church. Yet he claims to be inclusive.
Except for that.
I love the word inclusive, because the word inclusive to me is better than the word reconciliation, because I know a lot of reconciliation ministers that won't reconcile with me. But if you're inclusive, then you can't leave me out. But see, inclusive can become a doctrine, just like reconciliation has become a doctrine among the kingdom folks. Because they believe that everybody's been reconciled, but they can't be reconciled with certain ones. So I guess they're waiting to die and go to heaven where everybody can be one. But this thing that God is doing today is so beyond our intellectual understanding. And there is such an all-inclusive love that is welling up within our heart. And I can't talk about anything else. I guess that's just my part. I'd like to talk like this guy. I meant it today when I said, you know what, we all of us should come here this weekend and learn from this man. Because this kind of a word will change your life like nothing else will. But you have to be open. People looked at Jesus for the most part and they saw a man. They didn't really see God. They saw a man. Yet that light, that energy, the fullness, the essence of all that God is was emanating from that man. Yet they worship the man and don't realize they have the same essence and the same energy. And they worship the door because he said, I'm the door, and they totally misunderstood what he meant. But they worship the door, and I say, look, a door is an entrance into another realm. You worship the door, but you don't enter in. But that is so quickly changing today.
Yes.
Because people are beginning by numbers. Those of us who travel realize, I mean, there's people all over the world today that are understanding the language of inclusiveness. And that God is everything, all there is. Nothing exists outside of God. I've been so blessed because I think most of you probably know, but I'll be going to Italy early next month, to share this wonderful message with what the pastor telling me. He said these people are hard-headed. They're Catholics. They're fundamentalists. But I'll tell you what. If you don't preach intellect and you don't preach gospel, you can touch anybody. I spoke in a Baptist holiness, Jesus only church about a month ago. I had no problem at all. No opposition, no mean looks. Who doesn't understand love? I had a little bit of problem when they started asking me questions about baptism, because I didn't fit their doctrine on baptism. But that didn't matter, because I could tell they were blessed. God is the Father of all. And the all-inclusive love of God will capture this world and usher in reality, the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. You're hard to follow.
Can I say something?
Yes.
When I was up in Topeka, you told me this Baptist church. And this man had a pastor had a son who was gay, and he was killed in Iraq. Or he was killed in Iraq. So the Christian people in the Topeka area come and protest his church and said that God's judgment against this man who was gay was to die in the Iraq war. And they had signs on there, because when I went to buy my tripod in Topeka, I ran into this group and I almost stopped, because they said God hates gays. You know, come to John 3:16. Then the first thing I wanted to do is stop and says, have you read the script? It says, for God so loved the world. And so, you know, I mean, you can see it out there. The prejudice that are in the so-called Christian world. I mean, I even got rebuked because I went to a casino with my sister. This is what she wanted me to do. She said, I want to teach you about life. And I had won some money, but then I went to sleep because my sister said she wanted to see if her luck changed. Well, she came out and said, Johnny, come on back. I'm hitting it big. So I went back there and I said, well, I got to go back to the Lord. I went back to the Lord and said, drop a $5 bill in the machine next to her. And I did. And the first $2, I had about $130. And so I told this to this friend of my sister's, and she was very religious, and she said, you telling me that God said for you to gamble? And I said, no, God told me to put the $5 bill in the machine, and he would...